for 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour. This is hour number four of our weekly radio broadcast, our fourth and final hour. And generally, this is what we call our open home hour. And we'll still keep it true to that. We'll take your calls. But we also have a special guest. If you've been listening, October has been water month here at Rosie on the House. And we couldn't get through that month without bringing in SRP. So if you've got a question, we'll still field them. We may not take them on air. We may answer them in the call from the call screeners booth or during commercial breaks. But to reach us, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Anything for your home, castle, or cabin. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. And I won't say we've saved the best for last, but we've definitely saved the most significant to Arizona for last, because any source of water is a good source. But if you look at a state map and you look at all the water and reservoir, SRP is unique in that it's the only in-state system for surface water that's contained to Arizona. CAP, that's a 2,900 square mile watershed that covers a numerous different states. Alamo Lake, we can't get any detail on because the Army Corps of Engineers manages the dam and the state parks manages the lake, but that's not supplying water to any type of customer, whether it be municipal, commercial, residential, or agriculture. Same with San Carlos Reservation. So it brings us, and we talked about Lake Pleasant, but as we mentioned with CAP, most of the water in Lake Pleasant comes from the Colorado River, and that's their storage facility. So when it comes to in-state watershed management, we've got the Verde River and the Salt River, and SRP is the gatekeeper to both of those. There are our in-state water provider managing our own watershed, and we have surface water resource hydrologist. Man, these guys can sure come up with some titles. Let me say that again. Surface water resource hydrologist Andrew Volkmer joining us on the line to share with us SRP's role in water for our state of Arizona. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And what does a surface water resource hydrologist do every day?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not even sure of that. No, we, we monitor the watershed and the reservoirs here that SRP manages, and we keep an eye on them, and we forecast water supply, and we just make sure everything's looking good and that the valley keeps getting its water.
And from any notable reference that we've found, I mean, y'all are pretty much the original water supplier in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. We're one of the first ones to put a water supply dam here in Arizona. And really that started in 1902 when Teddy Roosevelt, they passed the Reclamation Act. And then in 1903, the Salt River Valley Water Users Association was formed. Really, it was by a bunch of farmers here in the valley. And with that, they were able to secure some funding to build Roosevelt Dam up on where the Salt River and the Tonto Creek come together. So that was built in 1911. That was really the start of things.
And did they pick that destination because it's two rivers came together and they felt that was the best chance for that supply to fill up quickly?
Yeah, and actually a lot of it, the original site was up on Tonto Creek, but they found, if you've ever been up to Roosevelt Dam, which I suggest anyone go up to, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. But where the dam is right now is kind of where the canyon starts, so it was really the perfect place to put the original dam. Just the geology was great, and then, like you said, you were able to capture both the Salt River and Tonto Creek.
So you've got the first dam that's set in place in 1902. When do we finish construction on that?
Well, I think the construction started actually in 1904, and it finished in 1911.
So that's still pretty incredible.
It took a couple years to build, and actually when they started to build it, they'd been in the midst of a drought, which is one of the reasons they wanted to build the dam. And of course, if you ever want the rain to fall, just start building the dam, and the water will come. And they actually got flooded out a couple times while they were building the dam.
It's the same.
It went a little over schedule.
It's the same theory. Wash your car, it'll rain the next day.
That's
now,
right.
Roosevelt Dam was remodeled in, is it 95 or 99?
Yeah, 95, 96. They raised it and added some flood control space in it because before it was just primarily for water supply. But we almost, with that addition, we almost doubled the volume of it. But a lot of that volume is just for flood control, so it's not actually for storing water for supply. They did add about 300,000 acre feet of water supply storage in there too with that modification.
And going back to the original construction, so 7 years to build, it got flooded out a couple times. I mean, that's pretty impressive when you look at the fact of what tools were available on hand, what roads were like. If you've ever been up there, you know that's very rugged country, and it wasn't like the road was paved.
No, I mean, that's kind of why the Apache Trail was formed, was to get materials up to Roosevelt Lake. And at the time when the original dam was built, it was the tallest masonry dam in the world. So it really was an engineering marvel and feat of the time, and still is today.
Yeah, Hoover Dam steals a lot of the highlight, but that's just because there are as many people like us highlighting the Roosevelt Dam. We'll have to go do like a live interview on the dam. See if we've got satellite service out
and,
there.
And the thing about
not a bad idea, actually.
Well, the thing about Roosevelt Dam too, they've got a nice little parking area. They've got signs that show the history of the dam and how it was built. When I first moved here, I got a chance to see the original dam. It was just huge stone square boulders, and that was pretty much it. It was a beautiful structure.
And there's actually, if anyone's interested, here at the SRP building, they have at our Heritage Center, it's open to the public, they have one of the original masonry blocks that was not used for the dam, but what could have been, and they've carved out a little replica of the original dam. It's quite the sight to see, but kind of gives the idea of what the scale of the stones they used to build the dam.
And where is that located?
That's here at the SRP headquarters, the Project Administration Building. It's by the zoo on Mill Street.
So if you want to ever visit the dam, you go up Beeline Highway and go to Pumpkin Center and have a nice cafe brunch lunch there. You go visit the dam and then Tortilla Flat for a steak and a cold beer on your way home.
That's right. I think right now, unfortunately, that the Apache Trail might be closed because of the recent storms. But once they get that back open, is a nice.
What's the watershed of Roosevelt Dam?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, the watershed is actually about 6,500 square miles in size. It stretches all the way to eastern Arizona. As far east as Alpine, which is almost the New Mexico-Arizona border. And then if you include Tonto Creek, because that flows into Roosevelt as well, that goes follows the rim over by Tosholo and then just north of Payson. So it's quite impressive in size. The Black and the White River form Salt River, and all together, and that's about 200 miles in length. So the Salt River itself is pretty impressive.
So that prompted me to not distract from that watershed and the impressive size, but forced me to double-check my Colorado River. That's 40,000 square mile watershed.
Yeah, we're not as big as the Colorado River, but I mean, we can still pack a punch when it comes to water supply.
That all comes up to Roosevelt Dam. Moving downriver on the Salt, we've come to our next body of water and our next dam there.
Yeah, that's Horse Mesa Dam, which probably more people recognize that as Apache Lake. It forms Apache Lake. So, and really, the next two dams downstream are Mormon Flat Dam and Canyon Lake, and then Stewart Mountain Dam and Saguaro Lake. And we refer to those three dams as our lower salt reservoirs.
And how do they work in conjunction? I mean, do you monitor those levels to determine when you release Roosevelt or vice versa?
So usually we keep those three dams all have hydro generation on them, and that's mostly their purpose. So we actually keep those dams full throughout the entire part of the year, just to make hydro generation more efficient. And then we release water from Roosevelt down to those to keep them full. And then Stewart Mountain Dam is where we control our releases downstream for water use. So really we keep those full and then release is needed from Stewart Mountain for a water order.
And Stewart Mountain contains which lake?
Saguaro Lake.
So this is still before the Verde even intersects.
That's correct. The Verde is probably 15 miles downstream, maybe, of Stewart Mountain Dam, where it confluences with the Salt River.
So how do you determine how much water to release for tubing?
Well, so we just release water based off of our water order and what our shareholders need for demand. The tubing is really just a byproduct of what's being released for that water order. So, we don't release for the tubers, but that's just a healthy byproduct for that they can use for
recreation. So a two in one use. That's great.
That's right.
And it's been a long time since I've tubed the salt, but I understand that has really been cleaned up from what it had gotten to at some point. It was gotten a little grody, and they went through and did a big cleanup and restoration. We flew over it a couple weeks ago. Man, that's some good clear water.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stretch of river.
And so, if we go upstream on the Verde, who then manages Bartlett and Horseshoe?
So SRP manages those two as well. So yeah, when you go upstream of Verde, and you have Bartlett Dam and then Horseshoe Dam, and usually in the winter we're making our water deliveries off of those two dams because they're smaller. So we try to keep those lower in the winter because there's a better chance that we'll get more. They'll fill up, and then in the summer we usually stop delivering from those two, and we switch our delivery over to the salt side, so we get our water from Stewart Mountain. But yeah, it's a big system. It's fun to try to manage.
And we're going to continue talking water and the SRP water delivery system with surface water resource hydrologist Andrew Voltmer right after this.